But I am very privileged to have the opportunity to share this morning. So thank you, Jim, for allowing me to share this morning. As you mentioned, my name is Nathan Holmes. I'm one of the members here at North Marion Fellowship. And I periodically have the opportunity to be able to share and teach. So I'm excited to share this morning on our topic. So to start off with, I want to paint for you two pictures. So I want you to just imagine with me the following scenarios. You're sound asleep in bed, happily snuggled under your warm blankets, and you begin to wake up. The sun is shining, the birds are chirping outside the window, and happy sounds start coming from your phone. Maybe something sort of like this. Good morning. And this is what's going off next to your bed. And you just think to yourself, man, I feel so blessed. I am so blessed to live the life that I'm living today. I'm so grateful to be alive. I'm so thankful for another day. You jump out of bed feeling so invigorated and just totally refreshed. You race to the living room, throw open your Bible to spend time with the Lord. After having a great quiet time in the presence of God, where He speaks to your heart, He feeds your spirit and soul for the day, you joyfully jump into your day. Scenario number one. Scenario number two. How about this picture? You are again sound asleep in bed, happily snuggled under your blankies, as we call them in our house, our snuggle blankies, when you become conscious of wind and rain beating against the side of the house. It's still dark, so you wonder, what time is it? You roll over praying that it's a couple hours until your alarm goes off, and just as you begin to fall asleep, you are jarred awake by the following sounds. And the following dialogue begins to run through your head. Why does the morning have to come so early every single day? I am so not ready to get out of this bed. I am so not ready to start this day. I'm already exhausted, and I haven't even gotten out of bed. Maybe if I hit my snooze button and pretend it's not time to start my day, then I'll get that little bit extra sleep I need. So after hitting your snooze button for the third time, and then after the third time throwing it across the room off your bedroom wall, you suddenly realize that you are late in starting your day. You fall out of bed, you stumble to the coffee pot in the kitchen, you pour yourself a cup, and you realize you're already way behind the eight ball. Well, looks like there's no time for devotions today. And you plunge into your day feeling tired, worn out, empty, wondering how in the world you're going to survive your day. I know these scenarios are a bit ridiculous and a bit extreme and maybe very idealistic, especially in the bright, sunshiny morning example. But I want to ask this question this morning. What scenario do you think is more what God desires for us? As Jim has talked about in this sermon series is hashtag struggles living in a world of technology, living in a selfie-centered world. We do live in a world of technology that is so full of more distractions than ever before. And I know that Jim has emphasized that over the last number of weeks as he's been teaching, so I don't need to say any more on that topic, but today we're going to look at specifically how the distractions of technology can keep us from getting the replenishing rest that we need to live healthy, abundant, and spirit-filled lives. I want to just start off by just highlighting what this word replenishing means. Because there's a word that was used in the study that I did. I was reading one of the books Jim had given me, and it's so fantastic. Such a good book. But one of the things that it said was it said about replenishing. It says, let me see if I have it. I want to get the exact definition for you here. Apologize, I had that in my back of my notes here. To replenish means this, and I want you to think about what this means or what this would look like in your life if this was the norm. To replenish means to make full or complete again, as by supplying what is lacking, used up, etc. Think about that thought. To make full or complete again as by supplying what is lacking or what is used up. So what are some of the challenges that we face today with all the technology around us? Well, honestly, the first thing I think that we face with technology is the fact that it never shuts off. It runs 24/7. That's the world that we now live in. You've heard the saying, the internet never sleeps. It's true. It's totally true. Commerce happens all during the day. Commerce happens at night. While we sleep, people buy things on the internet all through the night. We can now access any content we want at any time and at any place. There are no physical limitations anymore, so we have to learn the discipline of using technology in a beneficial way, but also know how and when to unplug so that we don't do things that are harmful to ourselves. We have to learn how to master technology, or technology will master us. Point number two is that we are surrounded by technology. It is everywhere. It's in our daily lives and everything that we do. Think about it. The sheer number of ways that we use technology on a daily basis is astounding. Every day we spend hours on our phones, our tablets, our laptops, our desktops, and watching our high-definition TVs. Because we carry all these devices, or because all these devices are at our fingertips, especially our phone, which we carry around every single place that we go, we have gotten accustomed to using them and may not realize how much we're actually dependent on them. We may actually be slaves to technology and not even realize it. That was an eye-opening fact, especially for me as I was preparing this message. If you think I'm wrong, I dare you to put your phone in a different room and don't look at it or touch it for an hour. I'll bet you, there's only maybe one or two people in this room that could actually do that. And they're like, yeah, I guess because I never use my phone. I know, that's exactly why. No, but it would be a huge struggle. It would be a huge struggle. But even if we aren't slaves to technology, we may have trouble disengaging so that we can rest. Just something we need to think about. Point number three is that technology really affects our lives in three areas. As I was thinking about it, I was thinking, technology really hits us on multiple levels. It isn't just physical. It isn't just even mental. But it's actually also, it's also the spiritual realm that we get hit. And we're going to look this morning at different ways that it affects all of our being, but it does affect all of us and who we are as individuals. And again, one of the challenges of our day is that technology has sped up the pace of our lives. Things used to be a lot more quiet, a lot more simple. It was easier to rest and take a break or step away from things. But as technology has advanced, our lives just are increasingly faster and faster and faster. And at the rate technology is advancing, they say about every 18 months, technology is doubling in terms of how fast it's advancing. So we're moving at an incredible clip in this world, and it allows us to do amazing things. But at the same time, too, it makes it extremely, extremely difficult to be able to get the rest that we need and be able to step out and take a breath. And I think, consequently, because of the pace of our lives with technology, and I think just because we're busy as people, we have lives, we have families, we have things that we're involved in that we do, I think the combination of everything is that we really end up feeling tired, we feel stressed, and we often feel empty. That's what I hear from people a lot of the time. You know, I come up and ask them, how are you today? How are things going? These are some of the responses I get. Man, I'm just so busy right now. There's just so much going on. Or, man, I'm so worn out. I'm just so tired. I'm so exhausted. I sense that we're so busy and distracted in our lives that many of us struggle to find replenishing rest for our bodies, for our minds, and for our spirits. I think many of us don't even know what that looks like or how to truly rest. I know for me, that's been the case in the past. This is something I'm having to learn, and I want to learn, but I'm having to learn how to do. So I want to ask you this morning, what does God desire for you? What is God's desire for you? Do you think that the life He desires for us to live is one full of tiredness, stress, and emptiness? Do you think that maybe He has something better in mind for us? Let's see what the Scripture says about God's pattern and plan for rest. Then we'll take a look at how technology affects us on a daily basis and how we can build more replenishing rest into our lives, because I truly believe that it can be done, but it has to be done intentionally. Okay, so to start off with, we're going to take a look at Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. You can join up on the screen here. The Scripture will be up here, or you can turn in your Bibles all the way to the left, Genesis chapter 2. God laid out a plan for rest in His Word from basically the beginning of time, when time began. So let's go ahead and read there and see what God's plan is. I have up on the screen here, and we'll see it, but notice this phrase, 6 days on, 1 day off. Okay? Here we go. Genesis 2, 1 through 3 says, "Thus the heavens and earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended His work which He had done. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it He rested from all His work, which God had created and made." Why do you think God set apart the seventh day and made it holy? God obviously did an amazing work by speaking all of creation into existence. This work that He did, everything that was made, He did it all in 6 days. After He was done, though, do you think the Almighty God of the universe, who has unlimited power and unlimited strength, needed to take a breather? Can you imagine God saying, He turns to Jesus, "Wow, you know, Jesus, I'm sure bushed. This creation stuff is so much work. You know what? Why don't we just take off tomorrow and chill and relax for a while?" Can you imagine this conversation happening in heaven? I just had to laugh as I was thinking about it. Maybe God had something deeper in mind for His creation. This idea of remembering the Sabbath is so important that we find it later in the Scripture in the Ten Commandments. I think you guys will remember this one. It's found in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11, which we'll read together here. It says, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Notice again in Exodus, it's referencing back again to Genesis, that initial pattern that God had set, that He blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So again, why do you think this is so important that God included it as one of the Ten Commandments when he commanded the children of Israel to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy? I'm going to be honest with you. This is one of the Ten Commandments to me that didn't make a whole lot of sense. Out of all the other ones, they all are very logical and make a ton of sense. Don't lie, don't steal, don't kill people. Okay, those are all pretty straightforward. They make sense. But the remembering the Sabbath day and keeping it holy is like, well, what? Why is it such a big deal to have a Sabbath day and to keep it holy? Like, why does it even matter? And I think it's really important to understand the purpose behind it. Again, I kind of made a joke about it, but it wasn't because God was tired and he needed a break, okay? God is all-powerful, almighty. He didn't need the break. But I think what he did was he was thinking about his creation when he took a break and he set that pattern. I think God created a good and healthy pattern in life for us to rest, and that is the Sabbath day. The reality is God didn't create it for himself, but he did it for men. Jesus made the point in the Gospels, where he made a statement, he said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So what does that mean? I think what it means is that he knows that we as humans have limited energy and that we need regular rest to be healthy and replenished. So as a wise and loving God, he created a special holy day for us to be renewed and to enjoy our relationship with him, just as he enjoyed his creation on the seventh day after he created the heavens and the earth. Think about it. God in heaven has just completed creating everything in the universe, the animals, birds, the oceans, the galaxies, his greatest creation, humans, which bear his image. And I think on that seventh day after God had created it, he said, not only for my sake, but more for the sake of my creation, I want to set aside a special day so that they can rest and enjoy their relationship with me and enjoy that I created them and that I love them and that I have a purpose for them. God recognized that need within us as humans to have that connection with him as the creator. And so he set aside a special time for us to connect with him. And he called it the Sabbath day. The word for Sabbath in the Hebrew language literally means rest. I think that's what God's pattern and design was for each and every one of us. Rest is also a good thing. How many of you guys would agree that rest is a good thing? Yes? How many of you guys like to feel fully rested? How many of you guys actually remember what that feels like? I'll be honest with you, as a parent, it's my one day of the week when I get to sleep in on a Saturday when it's 6:50 a.m. and the kids are like, let's go! Woohoo! It's like, really? My one day to sleep in? But the bottom line is this. I think we all operate, we all function better, we have better perspective, we live better lives when we feel refreshed. When our bodies feel refreshed, when our minds feel refreshed, when our spirits feel refreshed. It is a good thing. But I think one of the things that we run up against is that we oftentimes, I think, feel guilty, honestly, for resting. We feel guilty in this culture. I think a lot of it is our culture-driven, just bent toward being productive, just being productive, being productive, being productive. Because the rest of the 6 days of the week, most of the time, it's work, work, work. And it's just you want to be as productive as you can. And even if you're not working, you've got a to-do list like me that's a mile long of things that you need to get done, things you want to go do with your family, things that need to get done in the house, just a bazillion things that need to happen. And I think that I want to just, again, I just want to remind you, what is God's pattern? God's pattern is that he created a day for rest. It's a good thing. It's not something we should feel guilty about, and it's okay. Okay, I'm going to give you permission. It's okay to do nothing. There it is. All right, thanks for coming. I'll see y'all later. Okay. I think so often we just feel this constant pressure to do, but you know what? If you don't get everything done, if you don't get everything accomplished, it's not the end of the world. I have a news flash for you in case you're unaware. No matter how many lists you have or how many things you have on those lists, you'll never get them all done. It's not a list that comes to an end. It's a revolving list. Because as fast as you think check things off your list, more new things appear. And you're like, man, I'm never making any progress in life. The faster I get things done, the more things appear. So I think we need to recognize that if we're shooting for that goal, maybe it's slightly unattainable, okay? Maybe what we need to do is we need to recognize that could be a vicious cycle for us, and that we need to take time to rest. Because if we don't, honestly, we burn ourselves out, which only does harm to us. And it really does harm to the people around us, because when we're totally burned out, oftentimes recovery from burnout takes a long, long time. I know that my wife and I experienced that in a season of our lives where we just got burned out. And it honestly took us 8 or 9 months really to recover from we were constantly doing things, pouring out, and which was good, but the problem was we weren't getting filled up the way that we needed to, and we just ran dry, and it took us months to really get back on track again. And so I think, do we want to find ourselves in that place, or maybe would it be a better idea for us to just live more healthy, more intentional lives so we don't get to that place of burnout in our lives? With these things in mind, how about we seek to be productive with our time when we need to work, and then regularly take time to rest so that we can better accomplish the tasks and responsibilities that God has set before us. Number three, replenishing rest may look different for each of us. This was a really good thought that I learned going through this message, and I'll discuss this a little bit later on in the message. But God has created each one of us uniquely different, okay? All of us have different personalities. We're all unique and a little bit different. What charges up somebody or refreshes them or makes them feel good oftentimes is significantly different than other people. What is restful, if you ask them what is restful and replenishing, people have, I think, many different answers. And I think the key is there's no one specific right answer to what is restful and replenishing. We need to recognize this and seek the Lord and discover ways that we can truly rest and be replenished on a regular basis. Okay, so let's dig in and take a look at the effects of technology on the physical, on our body level, and what that means for us. In each one of these things, I'm going to kind of present a problem, something that I see as being a potential issue, and I want to just talk about some things that relate to that, and then give you some ideas of maybe some possible solutions or ways that I know I'm going to try to implement in my life, and maybe you can as well, that will really help you. So we'll start off by talking about the physical. Technology, I think, can really adversely affect us by robbing us of quality sleep. Some of the ways that we cope with lack of sleep are also very unhealthy. Sleep is very important for our bodies to renew themselves for the next day. This is really important. We live, I think, in a culture that runs on too little sleep. And so we compensate for that in a lot of other ways, which I'll mention as we go along. But I just want to ask the question, is that healthy? I don't know that that is healthy. I think we have an issue. And I know that we live busy lives. I know that we have kids, and there's nights when you don't get much sleep. And that's, that's okay. But I think if you're not getting any sleep or very little sleep constantly, I don't think that's healthy. And I'd encourage you to take a look at what you're doing, maybe change some things in your life so that you feel better rested. I went back to this a long time ago. It was a number of years ago. I heard an AM/PM commercial. How many of you guys are familiar with AM/PM? Okay, yeah, store where you can go buy pretty much anything that you want, I guess. So, but I heard this commercial, and it was just so indicative of the thinking of our culture. And of course, they're trying to sell their products, but here's the gist of what the commercial was. I was like, I'll try to do my best raspy, like announcer voice. I'm not super great at it, so I'll give a bug of my best shot. Here we go. So he goes, "You're a busy person. You have places to go and things to do. You have work to get done. You have an entire season of your favorite show you need to binge watch. You don't need more sleep. You need more coffee, which you will find in a variety of delicious flavors every day at AM PM. Or maybe an energy drink is more your style. Stock up this week on Monster Energy, which you can get 2 for $4. Live life the way you want to. AM PM, too much good stuff." Think that's indicative of what our culture says and believes? How about this one from actually a place I love getting coffee, Dutch Bros. This is saying, "Stay up late." This is more noble, but still same idea. "Stay up late, get up early, change the world." Sounds good. Also sounds kind of exhausting. Okay, so what are some bad habits that we have that really affect our sleep? One of the things that I think is probably the biggest culprits in terms of robbing us of sleep is staying up too late watching TV, movies, or TV shows. Now, I'm not passing judgment on anybody because I am absolutely 100% guilty of pretty much all of these things that I'm going to tell you. I'm guilty of them, okay? I'm working on it. I'm working on it too. I'm very much a work in progress here. But I would ask you the question, you know, how long do you stay up at night watching things? Do you stay up that extra hour, 2 hours too long because you want to watch another show? You want to finish that season. You want to binge watch whatever it is you're watching on Netflix. Just a question. The other thing that I found that is really actually a bad habit is consuming entertainment content, however you're watching it, too close to bedtime. There's actually scientific evidence that proves that, which I'll talk about in a moment, but it's just something to understand and recognize what technology is doing to you so that you're not ignorant of that, because I totally was. I had no idea until I heard some studies on sleep and what things affect your sleep and how to have better sleep. I was like, man, our culture is messed up. Like, we have so many bad habits, it's crazy. So I'll talk about that a little bit more. The other thing is drinking caffeine too late in the day. Caffeine has about an 8-hour life in your body when it chemically affects you and prohibits melatonin levels from kicking in your brain, which allows you to sleep. The other thing, and then I think how we compensate for that on the backside oftentimes, is coping with a lack of sleep in the form of too much caffeine, whether it's coffee or energy drinks. And that oftentimes either leads us to not feel good, still lack energy, or leads to crashes in our bodies that really make us feel horrible. So talking about just a little bit about the scientific stuff that I studied and learned was the main thing that I wanted to just highlight was really about blue light, because there's different types of lights that are used in technology, and one of the backlights that's used on your phones and on certain TVs and things is a blue light, which there's nothing wrong with blue lights. Our body handles blue light well, but the issue is that our body interprets it as daylight, is how it interprets blue light. And so what it does is when we watch shows on screens with backlight all the way up till bedtime, our mind keeps thinking daylight, daylight, daylight. So our melatonin levels stay low and don't kick in, which means it takes us longer to get into our sleep cycle. It takes us longer to fall asleep and longer to get the deep sleep, fall into that REM sleep that we really need to feel refreshed and strengthened. So a lot of experts recommend that you switch your phone, and you may have already done this, to night mode, which turns that blue light to an amber light, and your body reads the amber light differently than a blue light. So it's not going to affect your melatonin levels the same way in your brain, and it's going to allow you to be able to sleep. But at the same time, experts still recommend that you leave like a 2-hour buffer between when you finish watching something and when you go to bed to give your brain adequate time to start shutting down, resting, getting ready to fall into a sleep cycle. Very interesting. I knew none of this. I knew none of this until I studied deeper, and it was really actually very fascinating. The other thing I think we need to be aware of, too, is that our body has cycles. You know, we have, there's the circadian rhythm, which is kind of our overall cycle, but even more kind of within that, we have kind of our REM cycles, which is our rapid eye movement, which is our deep sleep that we have. And most of the time, I think experts say that it falls between about 45 minutes and 90 minutes in the cycle of what a REM cycle, and you'll have multiple cycles per time that you sleep. Most of the time, if you figure about 90 minutes, that's a full complete cycle. And what experts have found is that if you wake up middle of a REM cycle, oftentimes it will make you feel more sleepy, more tired, more groggy, and it takes longer to become focused and sharp and alert. So it actually, when you get certain amounts of sleep as opposed to others, your body may actually feel better because it's able to complete a REM cycle. So for example, if you hit like 6 hours, that's 4 complete cycles. So most of the time, 6 hours will be an adequate amount for somebody to feel good. Ideally, experts recommend you get about 7.5 to 8 is the ideal amount, or more if you can get it, but most anybody who can get more than about 8 hours of sleep. So just something to think about, like just how long you sleep, when you go to bed, maybe when you get up, and try to hit some of those REM cycles a little bit closer. You will probably wake up feeling a little more rested and a little bit more refreshed than you would if you're falling kind of mid-cycle. So sorry to get a little bit nerdy on you there, but I think it's really important because I realize there are some things in my life I needed to change to kind of help me to be able to get better sleep. I don't think any of us are really conscious of it because we're asleep, obviously. But I think the important thing is we may be asleep, but if we're still not doing the right things, then I think what happens is our sleep is not either deep or we're not getting enough of it. So just be aware of that. Again, just some good habits to improve sleep. Set a limit on the time for watching shows. Leave time between watching entertainment and going to bed. Allow your body to get into that good sleep cycle. Don't consume caffeine after about 3 in the afternoon and allow caffeine to work out of your system so that your body chemically can go to sleep at night. And then maybe limit some of the caffeine during the day and don't allow your body to become dependent on it. There are some ways that you can, start to replace some of those drinks with other types of drinks that would be healthy, maybe giving you some better good vitamins or nutrients, good things to start substituting in, because oftentimes it's hard to just completely stop drinking anything, so it's better to substitute in some other good things. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say on the physical level. On the soul level, this is a huge one. I think our minds are always engaged with technology, and we often have trouble unplugging. I think we heard a word in our worship today that I thought was so good, and it was repeated, and I think it's really important, and I want to say it here. We need to learn how to let our souls breathe. Have you guys ever been going through the day, and you're just racing around through the day, and you feel like you got a weight on your chest, and you realize, man, I just need to stop and take a breath? Like, I have to remind myself to do that sometimes because I'm a manager of a company. I've got calls, I've got texts, I've got stuff going on all day long. And I sometimes have to just stop and go, man, I just need to catch my breath here. I just stop and breathe. And I think, it seems so simple, but how many of us in this realm of our minds, we don't take that time to just pause and breathe? We just need to stop and breathe for a second. Again, we're engaged with technology all day long. It comes at us from every single angle. Like I mentioned, I am a manager in a landscape company. I'm helping run 20 guys, so I'm getting phone calls and texts all day long. And then the boss is sending me stuff, and the boss's son is texting me stuff, and then my wife is sending me stuff, and then I want to get on and check sports scores, and I want to check the news, and I want to go on one of my other apps, and then when we get home, we want to watch something together, so we pull up Netflix, and it's like, all day long, it's just boom, 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 and our minds are always constantly engaged the entire day. But when do we give our souls room to breathe? They need it, just like our bodies need rest at night. It's unhealthy for us to never have a mental break. I think if we're worried, stressed, and mentally exhausted, we're definitely not at rest in our souls. Maybe technology is one of the things hindering us from being renewed in our souls. But maybe we need to consider how we're living and we need to change something. Does the following scripture resonate with how your soul often feels? Listen to this psalm from Psalm 42, 1 through 5. As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food night and day, while they continually say to me, "Where is your God?" When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. It's interesting, the author of this psalm continues by going on remembering what God has done. He's down, he's struggling. He's like, I used to praise, I used to worship, I used to be full of joy, and my soul is down, man. I'm anxious, I'm stressed, I'm not feeling close to God. I'm losing hope. And he starts to remember the things that God did. He goes and he starts to think about those things and think about those things. And at the end of the scripture, he finishes with the same verse as verse 5. This says, why are you so cast down, my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. You know, even in the psalm, he never quite got to that place, but he was like, that's where I need to get. That's where I need to go. He's pouring out and saying, my soul is thirsty, my soul is dry. I need the living God. Need the living God. So what should we do in our lives to give our minds replenishing rest? It's important to note here that we have total control of directing our souls, but we have to take action to keep our minds and emotions in a healthy place. Bottom line, folks, this isn't going to happen by accident. This happens on purpose. So I want to encourage you as a way to help give your soul replenishing rest. I want you to think about today and maybe this week, what are some different ways that you can regularly unplug or rest your mind? I want to encourage you to meditate. Meditation is really taking time to focus your thoughts on the Lord and letting Him renew your mind. I just want to encourage you too. Meditation is not the idea of what we get as like Eastern meditation where you're supposed to just empty your mind and have nothing in your mind. The Hebrew scriptural definition of what meditation is and how we ought to properly do it is actually to fill our mind. But what we're doing is, so rather than trying to empty it, what we're doing is we're filling our mind with good things and we're washing everything else out. We're filling and we're filling and we're filling. And so I want to encourage you to think about meditation that way. It's not completely just getting rid of everything. It's rather filling your mind with the right kinds of things and allowing the other things to get pushed out. Ideas about how to let your soul breathe. These are some ideas. These are not exclusive, all of the options, but here's just some thoughts. Get out and enjoy God's creation. Go for a walk. Take your family on a hike. Go up to Mount Hood. Go to the gorge. Go to the beach. Take a moment and just enjoy the creation of God. Recognize that you're a part of it and that He loves you. Enjoy a beautiful sunset and just take a deep breath. Don't take a picture and post it on Facebook. Just enjoy it. Enjoy that moment with God. Maybe it's take your family and go do something special. Create a special memory together. Maybe it's go out for coffee and just have some time to talk. Maybe it's just you need a little bit of quiet time to get away, sit in a park or something like that. Those are the kinds of things that allow our souls to breathe. Just some ideas. But I think we want to have this heart attitude, what the psalmist said in Psalms 105, verses 1 through 5. Which is, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, and redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, listen to this, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Doesn't that sound refreshing? Let's dig a little bit deeper into the heart and spirit level. I think all of the content options offered through technology can pull us away from spending time with God. Jim preached on that last week about idols and how technology can become an idol or other things can become idols in our lives. I love this saying by St. Augustine that was in the book that I read and studied. It says, because God made us for himself, our hearts are restless until they rest in him. Because God made us for himself, our hearts are restless until they rest in him. Hebrews 4:9-11 says, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter rest, lest anyone fall according to the example of obedience. I want to read just a section out of this book called Replenishing Rest because I think it just illustrates it so beautifully, probably way better than I could say it. God made us to be in relationship with him, so our hearts are restless until they rest in him. This explains why our souls have been restless for so long, why we keep looking online for something to satisfy that longing. Our souls need something that can bring meaning, something that can help our relationships work. Something that can give us purpose and significance. Something that fills the void inside of us once and for all. This is the central issue. We have a Jesus-shaped void inside of us. And nothing besides Jesus is ever going to fill that vacancy. Jesus longs to give us what we so desperately crave. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you weary? Do you feel burdened? Come to Jesus. His invitation is for you. Come to him now. Come to him by faith, and he'll give you rest. He is gentle. His heart is humble. Jesus is offering you his special rest. But in order to experience fully his rest, you're going to have to focus your heart on him and him alone. Nothing else, no one else, only Jesus. I think it's important that we spend time, that we prioritize time with the Lord each and every day, and that we learn to be still. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. To close, I'd like to read the following scripture. It's out of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 6:16. It says, this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. Be still and know that he is God. That is one of the most important things you can do in your life. It may be one of the most difficult things you can do in your life because it's so hard to be still and sit still. But it's in those moments with the Lord of recognizing who he is and how much he loves you, how much he cares for you, and being in his presence that he fills you, that he refreshes you, that he strengthens you and gives you that rest that you really desire and need. Let's go ahead and close with just a prayer. Worship team, you want to come up and just close with a brief closing song here? I'd like to just pray for all of us today.